You're on the air now. This is WHOW 90.5 FM, and this is Dr. Power from the University of Montana. So do you, I briefly described your work, but if you wanted to talk about first what it is I was referencing in the report you sent me in New Mexico.
Okay. I guess I should say I'm a economist whose work primarily in the field of natural resource economics and the impact on local and regional economies of natural resource development. And over the last 5 years, partly as a result of the big push by the Bush administration to open up more oil and natural gas resources within the United States, there was a big push to develop. Yes?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. To develop as much of the federal lands in the West, and I think most people know that a good part of the West and some states like Nevada, up to 80% of the state is federally owned. In any case, there was a big push to develop especially natural gas resources, and so there was it's been a natural gas boom going on until late last year. And I got involved in doing a variety of studies trying to help guide the federal land managers as to what the local economic impacts of natural gas development were likely to be. And two of those studies were done in New Mexico on the eastern side of the Rocky Mountains that run down through the, at least the northern part, through the center of New Mexico. And what I was primarily trying to do is figure out what this very intense natural gas drilling activity, what impact it was likely to have on the local economy, and looked at two particular areas in New Mexico in some detail. I don't know whether you want me to walk into some of the results or whether you want to throw some questions at me.
Yeah, I think I don't necessarily go into the whole result as far as a complete explanation. I tried to sum up what you were talking about, but perhaps coming from the person who did it and giving a more of a detailed background of the results you found would be great.
Okay, one of the unique features of mineral development of almost any kind, whether we're talking about copper mining or gold mine or coal mine, or talking about natural gas development, is that although considerable wealth is produced by those activities, that wealth is primarily tied to the gift of nature, what's buried there in the ground, and then extreme levels of investment in both equipment and development of that resource. What I'm trying to say is that mineral development, natural gas development particularly, is land and capital intensive. It uses very little labor, especially once the drilling is done, once the wells are developed, and that's a fairly brief period of drilling and development. After that, there's very little labor involved. As a result of that characteristic, it's not a very labor-intensive activity. In fact, it uses very little labor and produces only a small number of jobs. In any case, as a result of those characteristics of mineral development and natural gas development, the impacts on local employment are quite small, and the impacts on local income the payroll are also quite small. That local impact, that local positive impact, is made even smaller because the primary workforce in the place where there, the most labor is used, namely in the drilling and development of the wells, is carried out by a highly skilled mobile workforce, which has to move. Since you drill the well and then the well produces, depending on the type of well, for a few years or a dozen years or, you know, a quarter of a century. But there's a very brief period of a more labor-intensive activity, and then the well largely operates on its own with very little employment or income. So you have this mobile workforce that moves one location to another as the drilling moves across the landscape, so that even the workers that are employed in the development of the natural gas fields aren't typically local residents. They're transients, highly paid transients, who are following the development of the natural gas field and moving from one gas field to another. And so that reduces the local income and employment effects, too, to typically a very, very tiny sliver of total employment and income in the area where the gas field is being developed. The big bucks that we hear about and we think about in terms when we hear that millions or hundreds of millions or billions of dollars worth of natural gas wealth is being produced. Most of that, the vast majority of that, does not go to workers. It goes to people who are developing, the energy companies that are developing the gas fields. It goes to people who own the mineral rights if they've struck good deals with the energy companies. And to a certain extent, it goes to state and federal government, who are actually tend to be partners in mineral development. But the impact on the local economy tends to be quite small.
All right. And I think one question here to, I had mentioned boom and bust, and I don't know, I hadn't really described that. Could you perhaps give a brief description of what, when I said boom and bust, what it is, what that means?
Yes, most minerals are, including natural gas, are sold in nationwide markets. A map of the natural gas pipelines in the United States or in North America look like a very dense spider web, especially when you get into the eastern states. So gas produced almost anywhere can move to almost anywhere in the United States. And the same thing is going on. Canadian gas being produced in Alberta and British Columbia in the northwest corner of North America makes its way all the way to the East Coast, into the Midwest, etc. In any case, the gas is sold into a national market, and its value is established as a result of competition among various producers to sell into that market. And natural gas also competes against coal and petroleum, oil, in a variety of uses. The result of that national and international competition is that the price, the value of that mineral commodity, any mineral commodity, be it natural gas, follows the same sort of pattern. The price or value is very unstable. So, for instance, a year ago or so, natural gas was selling for $13 to $14 per million BTUs. And 6 months later, it was selling for $3 to $4 per million BTUs. The results of price swings like that is that when the price is high, everybody who can get their hands on a drilling rig is out trying to find more natural gas and pump as much as they can out of the ground and into the pipelines. And that produces an excess supply, which then drives the price down. And then there's a wave of gas fields being shut in. A substantial part of gas production up in Alberta, the higher cost gas production, has been shut in over the last half year. Gas exploration and development in the western states has come to almost a complete halt. There's very few drilling rigs currently operating because the price of natural gas is so low. So you get these pulses of activity when mineral prices are high. Everybody thinks prosperity and wealth are here to stay. And the net result of high prices is almost always oversupply, which leads prices to fall. It leads, initially part of the price fall is that the high prices discourage people from using it. They look for substitutes. And demand tumbles, prices tumble, and people get laid off. And at times out here in the West, the low prices lasted so long that they cut up the drilling rigs for scrap metal, and the natural gas fields were abandoned for a good part of a decade.
Wow. I have my co-host here, Nastasha, is in the studio. Did you have some questions? I saw you writing something down.
Yeah, I was taking notes on what you're saying, Dr. Power. I at the moment, am just taking notes on what you're saying.
I can barely hear you.
Oh, you can barely hear me. Okay.
Talk into the front of it.
Okay.
There you go.
Oh, there we go. Okay, sorry, Dr. Power. I know that in Pennsylvania, they recently issued a report out by the State University Cooperative Extension that works very, very closely with the natural gas drilling and tries to assuage residents that the drilling is in their benefit. They recently stated that 40,000 new jobs were generated by natural gas production. Would those be mainly out-of-state jobs, do you think? I know you didn't read the report, so.
Well, like you had told me before, you haven't done as much research in the Northeast section, and that's also something I wanted to get into, not necessarily specifically, but generally. Many people here are told about the jobs, are told about the money that they're going to be making, are told about just the money that the state and the counties are going to be pulling. And that's something that you, in your report, you had mentioned that Colfax County was set to make $102,000, and that only made up for 1% of their total budget. And so, is this regular with the mining that you have seen and out west?
Well, I should emphasize what you just said, which is that my work has been exclusively here in the western United States,
right.
Canada, Alaska, and I have not looked at the details.
Right.
Of what's going on in New York or Pennsylvania, but the you have to look very carefully at projections of jobs impacts. There's a cottage industry. Academics regularly supplement their income by churning out as large a number as they can for any special interest that asks to do it. And I'm not being totally cynical there. The University of Montana School of Business regularly publishes studies that are aimed at showing how important the University of Montana is to the Western Montana and Montana economy. It's politically valuable to have somebody inflate your apparent importance in the economy. And so everyone from the arts community to the to our universities, to manufacturers, to natural gas producers, hire people to say how important they are so they increase the likelihood they can get their way. But there's dozens of different ways to exaggerate the impact of natural gas. For instance, you can trace the natural gas and claim as some of the jobs any large industry that's using natural gas on the grounds that if they didn't have natural gas, those people wouldn't be working. Of course, if they didn't get natural gas from Pennsylvania production, they would be getting natural gas from Louisiana or Texas or Alberta production. They don't need Pennsylvania or New York production to have natural gas. And so a lot of the job impacts are just bogus. They're just major exaggerations. Now, I'm not saying that about the particular study. I haven't seen this study.
Right.
But I've seen literally dozens of such studies across the United States. And the common theme in all of them is exaggeration of local jobs and income. Now, on the government side, in some ways, there's less reason to be skeptical because mineral production often is one of the more heavily taxed or if the mineral is owned by the federal or state government, royalties are levied on it. Most states are perfectly happy to put fairly stiff taxes because they hope those taxes will be exported out of their state to the rest of the country. Montana, 10 years ago, levied a severance tax of 30% on the mine mouth value of the coal being produced in Montana. And we were perfectly happy to do that because it was going to be paid by people in Wisconsin and Illinois. So governments often become partners with the energy companies or the mineral companies in sharing the profits that are associated with it. What I found in my analysis, here I again have to say I haven't looked at Pennsylvania or New York's the way they fund local governments such as schools, but many states have in place equalization systems that are aimed at assuring that counties with very sizable tax bases, wealthy counties from a tax point of view, are forced to share a significant part of their richer tax base with the rest of the state. Many states actually have constitutional provisions, such as Montana, that require an equalization of the burden associated with funding public schools. Other states also have equalization measures in place to try and share some of the burdens associated with highway construction and maintenance and other county and local government activities. The result of that is that having, in many parts of the country, having substantial mineral deposits within your county doesn't necessarily assure that your county has more money to spend on roads or highways or schools. So that when I actually went county by county in Mexico or Utah or Wyoming and looked at the impact of the revenues state and local governments were collecting on the natural gas development, those revenues contribute very little additional revenue to local governments. It was the federal and state government that was receiving most of the largesse. And then they turned around and spread it back out more evenly across the entire state. So I'm not saying there's not any benefit. I'm not even saying there isn't any benefit to the local government. But most states, the way in which state and local government finance operates, tend to share the wealth, and the mineral rep primarily support the state's general fund and whatever legislators want to do with that.
Okay.
Oh, what happens in terms of local tax burden of the roads and the increased infrastructure, such as, you know, police and emergency responders? There's so much need of extra money at the local level. How does that get paid for with these equalization measures in place?
The western states are all used to the boom bust cycle associated with mineral development and are aware that as a result of the natural gas boom that we have been through in the West here in the first decade of the 21st century, that certain communities are getting hit really hard in terms of temporary transient populations, increase in crime rates, increased traffic on roads, increased for fire, police, emergency services, etc. And so most of our states have in place funds flowing from the state government to try and assist heavily impacted communities. But your question indirectly makes an important point. Oftentimes, Americans have sort of a love-hate relationship with taxes. When the taxes are on us, we see them as an unfair burden to be shed as quickly as possible. When the taxes are on somebody else, especially a business, it's seen as a benefit to the community. So with these local economic impact analysis, we treat the taxes paid by energy companies as a pure benefit, ignoring the fact that, in fact, taxes in general aren't a benefit. They're the cost associated with providing citizens and businesses supporting the economy with basic public services. So you don't want to just be looking at what the total taxes being paid are. You also want to be looking at what the impact on necessary services are and how those additional tax revenues are distributed relative to how the impact of that economic activity is distributed, burdening various communities.
Is there a large profit that comes after you take out those expenses that come from having the natural gas drilling or oil drilling in an area? Is there, after you take out those expenses, is there much profit that is made by the state and by the counties?
That depends, and here I again going to have to plead ignorance about what the time profile of this shale natural gas development looks like. I know how different wells, different gas fields out in the West perform, and there's quite a variety. The old-fashioned conventional natural gas or oil well, there's this intense activity, very costly activity up front as the well is put in, as the collection system is put in place, to the extent that the gas has to be treated to get sulfur out of, the treatment plant is put in place, and then everything's hooked into the national pipelines. There's a short period of very high expense. Then for traditional wells, conventional wells, there's a very long period of time of fairly high levels of production, only slowly tapering off. So you're correct. There's after those initial high cost and intense workforce moving from one community to another, and the costs associated with dealing with those impacts. After that, then there's a long series, a long period of nearly pure revenue that's flowing from that economic activity that the state and to a certain extent local governments get the tax, so that you can have a high upfront cost that maybe more than the taxes being paid, especially before production up to its full level, and the community may lose. Then, depending on how those tax and royalty revenues are distributed, there's certainly the potential for significant net gains to especially state government.
All right. Well, we're at about 11:30 now, and I think the next guest is on. I have a bunch of more questions for you, but perhaps we can do this another time. I really appreciate you calling in and doing an interview here with us.
Thank you so
much.
Okay,
well, I've enjoyed it, and I'd be happy to be on in the future and get into some of the other details.
Yeah. Absolutely, and so that was Dr. Tom Power. I'm gonna have to let you go. So I appreciate you calling in.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, bye. All right, folks, that was Dr. Tom Power. I believe this is Don Young on the air right now. I'm gonna play a little song here, and then we will continue on with the show. So here it is.